So this morning we're going to put our series on the book of Genesis on hold for one more week. Obviously this is a very special Sunday in the life of our church. And in fact there's much about this Sunday that's special and a little different from the normal Sunday that we have had in the last 3.5 years. We're in a new building. That's a little different, isn't it? We're in a building that we can use 24/7. Although I don't think we'll be using it from late, you know, in the middle of the night, but we can use it when we need to. And we're in a building that we don't have to set up and tear down every Sunday. Probably get some hearty amens out of that. We're in a building that has our name on it. At least right now we got a little piece of paper up there that says Grace Bible Church. But eventually as we work with we got to get a city ordinance and we're going to have Grace Bible Church out there that people identify this is where we meet. We're in a building that we put lots of sweat equity into. A lot of people would be amazed to know how little financially ultimately we put into this building. This is a way over $28,000 with furnishings and everything together, way over that if we would have had a professional do it. I don't know, $50,000 to $75,000, Jason, would that be about right? And we did it for way less than that and put a lot of sweat equity into it. There's a lot of other things that this Sunday is different than any other Sunday in the life of our church. Obviously, this is March 12, 2006. We've never had one of those either, right? So it's different in many ways. Well, how do we get here? How do we get here to 732 South Main Street in Clute, Texas? Well, if you'd allow me, I'd like to share just a brief biography of our church, where the church came from to this day. Well, the church's first meeting took place in the living room of David and Pam Dupree on June 9, 2002. Then the church began to meet at the old Ramada Inn, which is now the Sherotel, in July 21st of that same year. And then on September 22nd, 2002, the church at that time, all the way up to a few weeks ago, was named Grace Community Bible Church, began meeting at Rasco Middle School in Lake Jackson. And I came here in February of 2003. My wife and our four kids came here, and we continued to meet at Rasco for not from that time, but from the time we began first meeting at Rasco, to almost 3 years meeting at Rasco. And then in August of 2005, here most recently, we moved to the Civic Center and met there until last Sunday. And during the time since the church began, I went back and looked at records, and God has blessed us by taking the about 8 to 10 original families that began there in the living room of the Duprees to nearly 50 families represented in our body. And now God has seen fit to give us a building where we can meet in, where we can call it home. And that's exciting, isn't it? Really exciting. But let me remind us of something very important this morning. Even though we have a building with walls and windows and all this beautiful stuff in it, we are now, today, on this day, no more of a church than we were in June 9, 2002 in the living room of David and Pam's home. Why is that? Because the church is God's people gathering together to worship and serve Him. We're just as much of a church. We were just as much a church then as we are now. And one of these days, as God blesses more people and maybe have to have more facilities, we won't be more of a church. Maybe more people. We won't be more of a church in the sense of the word the church, ekklesia, in Greek, is a gathering of people and of God's people in particular. And I want to remind us of that this morning as we are enamored by what God has done in the physical sense. We can do what worship Him and serve Him anywhere, can't we? But with that said, let me say, and I want you to understand that I'm real excited about this building, all right? And I want to damper what God has done. I'm very excited at what God has done in this building. And He's seen fit to provide us with just a beautiful facility. As I said before, as Gary said, way beyond what we could have imagined. And with the gift of this building, though, God has also entrusted us with more to be good stewards of. We'll be able to do some of the things that we already do with more excellence because of this facility. We'll be able to do some of those things that we've dreamed of ministry-wise that we just couldn't do because we didn't have a facility to do them at times we'd like to do them. And we're also going to be able to do ministry that we never dreamed or thought of, that God is going to bring to us, is going to allow us to be creative and do ministry like we've never imagined be able to do it before. Truly, this building is a gift from God, isn't it? It is a gift from God. And we want to celebrate His provision this morning. How do we celebrate? How do we go about celebrating the provision of God. How do we do that? Well, we've done that through prayer, and we've done that through singing our, lifting our voices in song and praise to God for His provision, not only for this building, but many, many other things in our life. But there's more ways that we can celebrate the provision of God this morning. And the best place for us to find out where we can learn more ways how to celebrate the provision of God is in His inerrant and all-sufficient Word. And that's where we'll turn this morning, like we have for the past 3.5 years. And I can promise you one thing that'll never change. I might wear a suit every once in a while, all right, which I usually don't, but I might do that. But that's not a big deal. Something that will never change is we will never quit looking at God's Word to find direction for our life, to find out how great He is and what He wants to do in life. We'll never give that up, ever. You can cart me out of here if I ever do that. You might go ahead and shoot me while you're at it, all right? We'll never give that up. Well, if you would, please turn with me in your Bibles if you haven't already noticed in your outline there in your bulletin. We're in Joshua this morning. If you turn to Joshua 4, verses 19 through 24, and we'll look at some lessons from Joshua. If you'd stand with me as I read God's Word for us this morning. Joshua 4, 19 through 24. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th of the first month and camped at Gilgal at the eastern edge of Jericho. Those 12 stones which they had taken from the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. He said to the sons of Israel, "When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, 'What are these stones?' then you shall inform your children, saying, 'Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed, just as the Lord God had done to the Red Sea, which He dried up before us until we had crossed, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever.'" Lord, we thank You for Your Word, where we can find direction. This morning, Lord, we ask that You would teach us how to celebrate Your provision in our life to a greater degree, so that You would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we study here in Joshua this morning, we're going to discover three actions to take in celebrating the provision of God for His people. The first action to take in celebrating the provision of God is be amazed at the power of God's provision. Be amazed at the power of God's provision. After 40 years, Moses and the rest of that first generation of Israelites who had wandered in the wilderness, after 40 years, they've all died off now, except for two guys, Joshua and Caleb. And Joshua is now preparing to take that second generation of Israelites into the promised land, into the land of Canaan. And Joshua leads the people up to the edge of the Jordan River. And on the other side of the Jordan River is the promised land, is the land of Canaan, which God had promised to give to the nation of Israel over and over again. And He reminded Joshua at the beginning of Joshua 1:6 about this promise. "Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." So they're getting ready to realize the promise of God. Well, in chapter 3 of Joshua, we learn how God will get the people on the other side of the Jordan River into the promised land. Look with me at turn back to Joshua 3, verses 14 through 17. Let me read those for us. "So when the people set out from their tents to cross the Jordan with the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and when those who carried the ark came into the Jordan, and the feet of the priests carrying the ark were dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks all the days of harvest. The waters which were flowing down from above stood and rose up in one heap, a great distance away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. And those which were flowing down toward the sea of the Arabah, the salt sea, were completely cut off. So the people crossed opposite Jericho. And the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel crossed on dry ground until all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan." This was truly an amazing way that God was going to take him from one side of the Jordan River to the other side of the Jordan River. Just by that simple reading of the text, it's an amazing way that God provided for His people. Well, how amazing was it? Well, the river was at flood stage. And if you'd studied geography over there, the Jordan River is not a little nice stream All right, I remember living in my parents moved to Hopkinsville, Kentucky. I went there a couple summers when I was in college after they moved there. And they talked about this river called the Little River, and it should have been like the teeny-eeny-weeny river. It was like this big, and they called it a river. And even at flood stage, it was this big. This is nothing like that. This is a river. And at flood stage, in the time of the harvest, the snow would melt and come down off of the northern mountains and hills. And it would be a huge flood. And it was not a gentle stream. It was a raging river. And it was impossible to cross. Now get the picture. This is not just a little river. This is a raging river. It was amazing that they could do this, to cross it. It says in verse 15 that as soon as the priests carrying the ark dipped their foot in the edge of the water, that the water stopped flowing. It's amazing. They just dipped their foot in the edge of the water and it stopped flowing. Not only God stopped the waters of the river from flowing, but look how he did it in verse 16. The waters which were flowing down, it says, from above, stood and rose up in one heap. And all the rest of them just kept going. And it was just dry all the way. And I don't know how long this took, but it was going to be dry until it emptied in to the sea. Just, they stood up. Well, the waters rose up and they piled up like this wall. And notice where they did it at. At a place called Adam. Now, we would say Adam, but it's the same word as Adam. It's Adam. It were actually in the Hebrew. And Adam was 15 miles up the river from where the people were getting ready to cross. 15 miles. And all they saw for 15 miles was dry ground. And all they saw, as far as they could see, was dry ground. I mean, this wasn't like he made a little path. He dried up the whole river. This is an amazing thing that God did for these people. God wanted the people to know that he, in his great power, stopped the waters from flowing completely. And there were streams and creeks that came into this river. They all stopped. He wanted the people to be amazed at the power of his provision. And surely, can you imagine standing there? Would you be amazed? I would be amazed. Just reading, I'm amazed. When we consider the awesome and altogether unique power of God, we can't help but be amazed, can we? In our study on Genesis, we learned that God, by his great power, created everything out of nothing. We can't even imagine that. God is truly amazing. Often we forget about his power, or we're not amazed by it like we should. And there's another guy in the Bible that is like that, and like most of us that forget about how awesome he is and we're not amazed like we should. And it's a guy named Job. And if you would turn to your right, if you get the Psalms in the middle of the Bible, turn to your left and you run into Job. And Job, or as one of my football friends called it, Job. The book of Job, 38. In chapter 38 through 41, God responds to Job and all his friends who didn't know what they were talking about. And Job's beginning to question a little bit about God's plan for his life. Didn't think it's exactly how it should be. But look at Job 38, 1 through 11. Look how God responds to Job's doubt and his friends' bad advice. Job 38, 1 through 11. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel about words without knowledge? Now gird up your loins like a man, and I will ask you, and you instruct me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who sets its measurements, since you know? Or who stretched the line on it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who enclosed the sea with doors when busting forth it went out from the womb? When I made a cloud its garment and thick darkness its swallowing band? And I placed boundaries on it and set a bolt and doors. And I said, thus far you shall come, but no farther. And here shall your proud waves stop." And God goes on and on and on, these three chapters, displaying his greatness to Job. Now turn over to Job 42. And look at Job's response after God gets done with him and shares how great he truly is. Job 42. Beginning with verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, "I know that you can do all things." Now that's an understatement. "And that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear now and I will speak. I will ask you and you will instruct me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore I retract, and I repent in dust and ashes." Job is utterly amazed at God's power. I mean, I can't even do justice by the words, but in some way he just probably went, wow, what was I thinking? And you know what? God wants us to have the same reaction and to be amazed in such a way that we go, wow, God is awesome. His power is great. To be amazed at his provision for us. The fact that we don't deserve this building, but God graciously used his great power to provide us this building, should cause us to be even more amazed. We don't got this. We don't have this building because it's the greatest church in town or in the world. We're all the greatest people in the world. We got it totally by the grace of God, totally by his power and his provision for us. We need to be amazed. Therefore, the first action to take in celebrating the provision of God is to be amazed at the power of God's provision. The second action in celebrating the provision of God is be intentional in the explanation of God's provision. Be intentional in the explanation of God's provision. Turn back to Joshua 4. The first part of Joshua 4 tells us that all the people, as they crossed, the beginning of chapter 4, as they all got on the other side, that God wanted Joshua to send 12 men, one from each of the tribes of Israel, back in to the dry Jordan now and take a stone out of that Jordan River, to take it out. And you see that, look with me in verses, what the Lord had them do with those stones in verses 19 and 20. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th of the first month and camped at Gilgal on the eastern edge of Jericho. Those 12 stones, speaking of the ones they got out of Jordan, which they had taken from Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. Verse 20 says that Joshua set these stones up. And I just want to give you a picture of what maybe, I don't know how big the stones were, maybe a picture here of what they did. All right, they got these stones, and I don't have 12. I was fearful for what they might do to this nice new building. But they set these stones up. Maybe one on top of another. Maybe they were a little more creative than I am. And they set these stones up. One on top of the other. Like that. And they had 12 stones stacked up there at Gilgal, which is close to Jericho. And maybe we should have gotten like 12 pieces of drywall or 12 pieces of ceiling tile or some kind of construction and made some big memorial in a sense. But that's what they did. They made a memorial. Now notice what the Lord instructed the people to do in reference to this memorial that they had made. Ours would be out of drywall. Theirs was out of stone. In verses 21 and 22 there, Joshua 4, he said to the sons of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall inform your children, saying, Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground. Here we see God instructing the people to be intentional in their explanation of God's provision. He wants the people to celebrate God's provision by intentionally explaining to their children, to their children's children, that God miraculously provided for them to cross the Jordan on dry ground. This was their opportunity to pass on this amazing truth about God and the crossing of the Jordan to their children and their children's children, hopefully to their children's children. God also wants us to be intentional in the explanation of his provision in our lives. In providing this wonderful building for us, we have a great opportunity to be intentional in teaching our children about the provision of God, the one true God. We don't need a memorial built out of stones. We don't need a memorial built out of drywall or ceiling tile or glue or whatever else was in this building. We don't need that. We have this beautiful building to come to, not just on Sundays, but every week. And we're going to be reminded, it's a memorial in a sense to the provision of God, reminded of how God miraculously provided for our body. This is a memorial. And we should see it in that way. Not to worship it. That's not a memorial. It's just to remind us. Just like the Lord's Supper is to remind us of something. When we drive up in this parking lot in the coming weeks and months and years ahead, take the opportunity to be intentional with your children. And they say, well, why aren't we going to Rasco? Why aren't we going to the Civic Center? What happens? Why are we coming here? We can tell them what God did for us in providing this facility. Be intentional and tell them it's God who provided this building for us. This is a great chance for us to apply what Clint taught on a few weeks ago in Deuteronomy 6, 6, and 7. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. In other words, in all of our lives, we need to be intentional about telling our children, teaching them about the provision of God in our lives, about this building and about everything else in our life. Use this opportunity. It's a great opportunity to explain to your children what God has done. If you don't have children, I'd ask that you help the rest of us who do have children and help us to tell them and explain to them about the provision of God. I need to go back here. I'm going the wrong way. There we go. Also, we see this principle exemplified in Timothy's life. In Paul's second letter to Timothy, look what it says. You, however, speaking to Timothy, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. They, those who had taught Timothy the Scriptures, was his mother and grandmother. We learn another part of the Scripture. They not only taught him the Scripture, but they taught him how the Scripture was fulfilled and how the Scripture applied their life on a daily basis, not just on Sunday, but every day they taught how God's Scripture applied their life and how God had provided. They were intentional in the explanation of God's provision. I remember growing up as one of three sons of a pastor on a small river town in Kentucky, and we didn't have much at all. And my grandmother bought all of our clothes. I don't ever remember going shopping with my mother and father that they ever bought our clothes. We didn't have money to get clothes. So my grandmother would step in every year and buy us new clothes. And thankfully we get hand-me-downs because my brother's older brother and younger brother, we just kind of follow along after each other, and that was helpful too. But I tell you what, I do remember my parents setting us down on many occasions and telling us what God had done for our family. And how God had miraculously somehow somebody would send us an envelope with money in it. And didn't know that if we didn't have that money, we couldn't have paid our bills or been able to eat that month. And almost every time that happened, I remember my parents sitting us down on our couch with the green carpet and the green couch, you know, that time of the year, and us three boys, and saying, God, look what God has done. And I'll never forget those times because my parents reminded us of the provision of God. They intentionally made sure that we knew it was God that had provided this money and provided these things that would help us be able to eat. And obviously you see that I've eaten well. So I'm thankful for all those times that God provided. My parents took the opportunity to be intentional in the explanation of God's provision. Let's join together as Grace Bible Church, and let's be intentional in the explanation of God's provision in our life. Well, the third action to take in celebrating the provision of God is be jealous for the glory of God's provision. Be jealous for the glory of God's provision. Now look with me in verses 23 and 24 of Joshua 4. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed, just as the Lord your God had done to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Notice what the main purpose, there was a lot of purposes, but the main purpose of God doing this for Israel was a drying up the Jordan. Notice what it says in verse 24, that, or you could say in order that, all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. He wanted the world to know his greatness. He wanted the world to give him glory for his greatness and his grace. What happened in the stopping of the drying up of the Jordan could only be explained by the hand of God. There's no other explanation of this miracle I explained to you earlier. He alone deserved the glory for this awesome and amazing privilege and provision. He wanted his people to be jealous for his glory. He wanted to make sure that he alone, that's what I mean by jealous, that he alone got the glory for what happened, and no one else got the glory, only God. God doesn't share his glory with anyone, and he tells us that in Isaiah 48:11. For my own sake, and for my own sake, I will act. For how can my name be profaned, and my glory I will not give to another? God deserves the glory. God does not share his glory with anyone, for he ultimately deserves the glory for all things in our life. Now, he may use different people, he may use different times and talents and treasures, but he ultimately gets the glory for all things. And no one deserves to share in the glory of God. Now, what we did for these men earlier, that's not giving them the glory, but it's giving God the glory for using them. Please look at it that way, and they understand that. When the property team was commissioned last year to go out and find a place to meet or a land or something like that, many times I remember sitting in one of the meetings, and I wasn't on the team. We came and sat in on one of the meetings. It was exciting to see what was happening. But many times it was mentioned that we wanted to see something happen in an area of property or a building that could only be explained by God. You all remember that? We wanted to see something happen that can only be explained by God. After many months of hard work, and I mean the property team worked hard and looked at hundreds of properties and opportunities, and we never found it. And we got close, we thought, a few times, and we never found it. There was no land or building after all this time and effort and work, and time that I believe God wanted us to spend, and that He, I think, blessed us for using that time. Then the week before Thanksgiving, Patty Weaver received a phone call from Linda Holt. And Patty, earlier in the fall, had been in shopping at the furniture store that used to be in this building and speaking to a friend who was an employee of the Holts. And they were talking, and she just said, you know, Patty mentioned that about our church and said she was on a property team, and we were in the midst of looking for property and some place to meet and just sharing her friend. Well, so I guess that lady shared that with Mrs. Holt. And she called Patty up and said, well, not many people know this, but we're going to retire and we're going to shut down our business, and we'd like to know if you're interested in leasing our building. And we found out, and we said, yeah, we'd be interested, and found out that the price was unbelievably right, unbelievably generous, probably 3 or 4 times less than we could have even imagined or what we had found. And that their buildings weren't near as nice as this building. Plus, the Holts were willing to help us with some of the upgrade of the building. I mean, they literally joined with us and teamed with us in this project. That phone call cannot be explained by the wisdom of man or the work or effort of man. You got an opportunity to tell me how it can be explained by man. And the lambs were silent, because we have nothing to say but God provided. Miraculously, it can only be explained by God. When people ask about our church and say, well, weren't you meeting in Rascal? Weren't you meeting in the Civic Center? Where are you at now? Where are you, the Vagabond Church? Where are you? All right? We have the opportunity to give God the glory, to tell them of the story of how He provided this building and say, God provided miraculously. Listen to what He did. We have the ability to be like Philip after we tell him about what God did and say, hey, see all these empty chairs next to you right here? See them? Won't you come and see what God did? Won't you come with me next Sunday or to men's Bible study or women's Bible study or another ministry we may have meeting this building and see what God did? Be like Philip and say, come and see. And let's fill this room so people can hear the life-changing message of Jesus Christ for His glory. God wants us to be jealous for His glory and His provision. Let's all commit here this morning to be jealous for God's glory in providing for us. By being jealous for His glory, we want to make sure that no one else gets credit for what happened here. In doing this, in being jealous for His glory, then we give God glory. Isn't that good? Well, it's clear what a response is to God's Word today. We have the privilege to celebrate the provision of God for His people. His people are here, Grace Bible Church. By being amazed at the power of God's provision, by being intentional in the explanation of God's provision, and by being jealous for the glory of God's provision. Now, let me ask you this question. Have you personally celebrated the greatest provision of God in your life? Have you ever done that? His greatest provision for us was the provision of His Son. His dear Son. His beloved Son. His one and only Son. He provided Jesus as the payment for our sin. And the Bible clearly teaches we've all sinned. And the penalty of sin is death, eternal separation from God. But God being rich in mercy, provided Jesus for us. That He would stand in our place and take the punishment we deserved so that we might be forgiven. As Clint prayed earlier, 2 Corinthians 5:21, He made Him who had no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. He stood in our place. He was the provision for the forgiveness of our sin. The Bible teaches is that we would repent from our sin and self. And what that means, it doesn't mean we clean our life up, but what it means is we change our mind about sin and ourself, and we say, I no longer want to do those things. I no longer want to follow after me in the ways of the world, but I want to trust in what Jesus has done for me and then trust Him to change me. So we turn from this way of thinking and this way of living, and we turn and trust in Jesus and allow Him to change us into people who can live and celebrate the provision of God's forgiveness of sin through His Son every day of our life. Now that's good news, and that's something to celebrate, isn't it? And I'm so thankful for God's provision, aren't you? I'm most of all thankful for His provision of His Son. Because we have nothing to celebrate, we have no reason to meet without the provision. And if this morning you have never, ever celebrated the provision of His Son by turning from your sin and trusting in Jesus Christ, I pray today would be the day you do that and understand and know the forgiveness of God and His Son and know the life that He brings and gives. And for those of us who have done that, let's daily remember that provision of His Son first of all. Then let's remember the provision of this building we can use for His glory and tell other people about His wonderful provision of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your Word this morning. Thank You for the principles we can learn from Joshua and Your provision for them as Your people. A little different. You're not promising a land. You're not promising to take care of the waters of the Jordan for us. Lord, You're not providing those things, but Lord, You provide for us richly and abundantly. And Lord, we thank You for that. We give You glory and we give thanks for what You have done in us. Lord, help us do that on a daily basis. And Lord, if there are those here this morning, Lord, I pray You would work in their heart that they have never trusted in Your Son, that they would do that this morning and know Your forgiveness and know what it's like to be a son or daughter of Yours. In Jesus' name, amen.